So when you think of the word urban, what do you think of? What thoughts come to your mind when you think of urban? For some people, when they think of urban, they think of ghetto. You know, they think of a pretty rough part of town. They think of a society that's maybe slums. To others, urban means trendy, cool, upbeat, upscale city life. And still others, like me, it means home. It's where I live. Today, 54% of the world's 7.1 billion people live in urban centers, a proportion that's expected to increase to 66%, should the Lord tarry, by the year 2050. Projections show that urbanization, combined with the overall growth of the world's population, could add another 2.5 billion people to urban populations by 2050. Now, I was asked to speak on reaching and ministering in an urban community, better known as a city. I just think city rather than urban community, so we'll use that interchangeably. But I have to tell you that I still have more questions than I have answers, and a lot of things that still challenge me, and a lot of things that I still wonder how in the world are we going to make a difference. By the way, this is my city. That's not a real clear picture, but this is the city where I live. It's Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And we picked a real pretty picture because we want you to see that it doesn't always rain there, and the sun does come out. And so this is the city in which I live, and it's a place that I've called home for now 33 years, and I'm excited to be able to minister there. But I tell you, it's views like this that I look at, and I say, Lord, how in the world are we going to make a difference? How in the world are we going to be able to impact this city that's continually growing with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, let me first give you a brief history about me and where I live and where I serve, just so that you got some sort of a frame of reference. I was serving in the church that actually Pastor Fury pastors today. I was serving in that church as a music director, assistant pastor in Bethel Baptist Church, when the Lord called me to preach in April of 1981. The church was a great church. The pastor was a great church way before he ever came. You didn't catch that, all right. I can say that because he always loves to say that he was 5 years old when I came to work there. So anyway, I appreciate that. But I also lived on a farm, and it was a great ministry. We had a real large ministry there. It was a thriving church and still is a thriving church. But anyway, it was great to be able to live out on a farm, and we enjoyed that type of living. Well, once I understood God's direction and that God had called me to the Lower Mainland, as it's called in British Columbia, the massive urban area that goes all the way out the Fraser Valley, I received a lot of counsel about when I began talking about going to the Vancouver area. And everybody counseled me, go to the suburbs, you know, go out to the outskirts, go to where people are, new developments are going in, land's available, young families are moving there. And so the Lord allowed me a survey trip in October of 81, and I went out to those places. I went to the suburbs. I went to Burnaby in North Vancouver. I went out. I always tell this story. One day I got up early in the morning and I drove out along the Fraser Valley there, and I got to a town by the name of Chilliwack. And it's sort of an odd sound, but it was a wonderful city, about 50,000 people, surrounded by farmland and then completely encircled by mountains. It was gorgeous. And I remember phoning my wife that night, and I told her, I said, honey, I said, I found the place. If God will let us go here, this is where we're going to go. I was really excited about it. It was something I thought was manageable and I could handle. Now, I don't know exactly what I was expecting the Lord to do in my heart, but though there was a need in all of the places that I looked, definitely, I had no clear direction from the Lord about them. And I continued to go many times just passing through Vancouver, just trying to get used to what the area looked like. And as I drove through time and time again, I really had no clue most of the time where I was. I didn't have, I had a map, but that didn't really mean a whole lot to me. And as I drove and as I traveled, I remember that really one day near the end of my stay, I was driving up what I now know is Arbutus Street in Vancouver, coming up to Broadway, a main thoroughfare through the city, when I suddenly was, how do you describe the impact or the call of God grabbing your heart? And I realized that God was not calling me to the suburbs, and he wasn't calling me out to Chilliwack or to Burnaby or anywhere else, but he wanted me in the city, the urban community, which I saw now sort of foolishly call my city, my home. You know, I've had several occasions. I remember when my pastor from Simcoe came out for the first time to, he said he was preaching, promoting our little Bible college, but I come to understand later, he would never tell you that he was concerned about you, wanted to come check on you. That was the kind of preacher he was, the old school, you know, and I'm going to come out and do this, but really he was coming to make certain that we had a house and we were eating and everything was okay with us. But I'll never forget his remark. He said, "You know, Gordon, you're really in the city." I said, "Yep, that's where I am, right in the city." And I think, I don't know where he thought he was. And so I am a city slicker through and through. In just a few weeks, we'll celebrate 33 years of ministry in Vancouver's East Side. And they've been wonderful years, not without problems, not without trials. If you don't have those, you don't have ministry, right? And, you know, it's been a great blessing to see God's hand through it all. This year is a year of milestones for us. Our church celebrated 20 years of radio ministry this year. In a few weeks, we'll have our 30th year of camp. And the Lord's allowed us a lot of different things to be able to do. Down through the years, the Lord has allowed us to be involved in planting several other churches in our urban area as well. I was sharing with Brother Furso, you know, every young church planter begins a church with the idea that you're going to pastor a church of 1,000. Right? Come on, guys. All of us, we have that dream. That's what we're going to do. It's going to be a church of 1,000. I remember those feelings. And then somewhere along the line, the reality hits in of your giftedness and how God has made you and what you're going to be able to do. But also for us in the city, we began to understand that really the probability of that was going to be very hard just simply because of the logistics of where we live. And I'll talk about that in just a few moments. And so we began to invest in saying, well, let's reach our city by planting other churches. And so we've started a number of churches. Now, I've translated this all into miles from kilometers because I figured most of you would just be scratching your head the rest of the time trying to figure out how far away they were. We started Chinese Tabernacle Baptist Church 2 miles from us, Metro Baptist Church 5 miles from us, Sunrise Baptist Church 2.5 miles. It's a church that sadly after 5 years, the pastor went on and we closed it down. We really felt that in some ways he's a good guy, he's pastoring today another part of our province. I really was at peace that it was time probably to close it down. But anyway, we started that church, Lionsgate Baptist Church, 8 miles. Urban Community Baptist Church, which I find reaching urban community, I got to thinking about that, just a little over 4 miles. And then just this last fall, we were blessed to have a part in the start of City Baptist Church, which led by my son, Paul Connor, and it's just 3 miles away from us. So a lot of that, I told Brother Furso today, he said, "Well, how far is Paul from you?" I said, 3 miles. He looked at me. "Really? Just 3 miles? Why so close?" I said, "Because there's that many people." You know, and so there you have a little bit of history. All right. Well, I want to begin a little bit today. I want to talk first of all. Now, let's see if I. So, what do I do? Just click to the next one, or can I just click enter or return? Just space. Look at that. Urban concepts. You can tell I do this a lot, right? Urban concepts. I would begin today by saying that urban focus or city ministry, I think, has a biblical basis and example in the New Testament. You know, when you follow the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, and I think I ask you to turn to Acts chapter 16, you'll find a fairly consistent pattern of going to the large population centers as opposed to smaller towns. In Acts chapter 16, of course, we have the marvelous place where, you know, the vision from Macedonia come over and to help us. And in verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now look at verse 11. "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days." So notice, they went through Samothracia, then Neapolis, but they were on their way to Philippi. Why? Because it was the chief city in that region. And then if you go to chapter 17, then on to Thessalonica. Now, verse 1 of chapter 17, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. So again, you see them going through smaller communities to get to Thessalonica. After a brief stop in Berea, Paul then moved on to Athens, one of the most famous cities. And of course, we have that great passage there in verse 16 of the same chapter. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry and disputed in the synagogues and devout persons' marketplace. He grabbed anywhere he could to share the gospel. And then from Athens to Corinth in chapter number 18 and verses 9 and 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. To me, this is the cause of this city. Remember, David said, is there not a cause? As a young man, he was excited about something taking place. He said, is there not a cause? And to me, this is the cause of the city. The cause for an urban or a city ministry is much people. I believe God's plan for Paul, which stirred his heart so, was to go to those large centers of population to endeavor to establish churches, and there they could branch out to other communities. If you go to 1 Thessalonians, you'll read that, where he talks about how they had targeted Thessalonica, but then people went out from them and reached to all areas. You know, for many years in our early days in Vancouver, many people would come and visit us. And anybody ever been to Vancouver at all? All right, a few of you have been to Vancouver. So if you ever come to Vancouver, there's in the center of the main city core is a park called Queen Elizabeth Park. And it's nice because it's the tallest part in the city proper. And you can go there and lovely view of over the city. And I used to take people there. And I remember time after time I'd stand there with preachers or guests. And we would stand and we would look out over really the north half of Vancouver itself, look over to North Vancouver and to West Vancouver. And I mean, you're just looking at thousands upon thousands of people. And I would tell them, we are the only independent Baptist church as far as your eye can see. I'm very thankful today. I don't have to say that. I'm very thankful for what God has done down through these years. But, you know, the reality is there's still much people. That is the story of the city. And frankly, if we desire to reach much people, I think a city is a great place to begin. The sad reality is many people have been scared off from the city. They're scared off from it. In our own city, not independent Baptist churches, but I have watched good-sized Baptist churches sell their property and move out lock, stock, and barrel to go to another part of the Lower Mainland and resettle. You know, they've been unwilling to adapt and to change with the city. They prefer to maintain the status quo and to move where they can continue to be what they've always been. I've often wondered, what of the souls who lived around those churches? What about where that lighthouse has been really snuffed out? And oftentimes, non-Christian groups go into those buildings. Now, I'm not their judge, but I guess my heart for the city yearns for those people who will go and tell them. Now, you might be thinking, I don't know where you are as far as the city is concerned. Maybe you're praying about going to a city. Maybe you're already in a city. And, you know, some people might say, all right, well, great. I want to see lots of people saved, and so I'm going to go to a city. And yes, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. But I have to tell you, the devil is not about to give up his territory very easily. And there are a lot of challenges in urban ministry. And some simply because city life is what it is. It's city life. And some definitely because it seems that the city is the devil's stronghold. Now, my purpose today over this next little bit, talking about urban challenges, is not to paint an unrealistic picture of city life, but I will tell you it's very challenging sometimes. Sometimes the city ministry seems to be impossible. And you wonder, how in the world are we ever going to be able to accomplish anything? But, you know, I serve the God of the impossible. And in each of these challenges, there's an opportunity for God to work. Now, I have to say, obviously, I'm going to speak from a personal standpoint of what I've seen in my city. Your city might be a bit different than my city. You might have some different thoughts about. There might be different challenges that you face. But let me just share with you some things that I believe some challenges that confront most city planters and most city churches. First of all is the challenge of location. The challenge of location. I probably should have Paul come and join me and just co-teach this class with me this session, because we've just gone through it with him. You know, finding a place to start a church is always a challenge. But cities really, I think, in many ways produce some unique considerations. Everybody, obviously, doesn't matter where you go, you have to deal with zoning and, you know, all those kinds of things that have to be met, parking, all that kind of stuff. However, I don't want to really think about so much finding a place, whether it's a community center, a hotel, or a storefront, but I want to deal with the challenge of the reality that once you find that place, you may be there a very, very long time. A very long time. We have churches in our area that we helped to start that 16 years later are still renting community centers and hotels. Urban Community Baptist Church this year, Pastor Sean Beliveau, we helped to start that church, has been at the Rosedale Hotel. Rosedale is probably right about here, downtown. And they've been in that hotel. This year they're celebrating their 10th anniversary. Now, you know, that's a difficult thing. Now, the reality is, when you're young, especially if you're a church planter and you're excited about planting a church, there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of adrenaline. I mean, you can whip those chairs out and set them up in no time, and all the time you're singing, you know, we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saved, Jesus saved. And you're excited and you're rejoicing and all that. And there's just, okay, call me 7 years from now. Right now, if you're blessed to have some people come along with you and maybe help you start, Paul, some families from our church have gone. They're all excited, they're pumped and everything else, but 9 months into it, he's beginning to get out the cattle prod. Come on, folks, you remember, you signed up, you're supposed to be here. You're supposed to be helping out with those kinds of things. It's always easy to start, but it can get wearying and old, and it can only be by the grace of God that you're able to continue on. Another thing with location, I think the challenge of location is visibility that falls with that. You know, when you're in rented facilities, it's very hard to gain that all-important visibility where people know where you are. The reality is we have a building, and that I could spend the rest of the time sharing the miracle of how God gave us a building in the city of Vancouver. But the reality is a lot of people still have no idea where we are. They don't have a clue. It's easy to get lost in the crowds. The reality is, you know, I've always loved coming here to Lancaster. I love seeing the wonderful campus that is here. And I have to say, I always fight with envy every time I come. Not about the buildings and all the other kind of stuff. I envy parking spaces. You know, I look out there and I think, look at all of this. There's acreage here. I have 6 parking spots at our church. So, you know, that's it. You know, everything else is on the street and everywhere else. So I come and, you know, I know it's sort of twisted, but that's what it is. You know, you come and you drool over. But really, honestly, a church of this size would be gobbled up in the city of Vancouver. I'm not certain that it would have necessarily the impact, I guess we could say, the public persona that it does in the city of Lancaster. There's also the challenge of finances. Everybody needs money, of course, but the cost of living and ministry in a city is usually higher. It's usually more difficult. Now, the Lord called me and placed me in really what is probably one of the most expensive parts of the world. Vancouver has been identified, I think, number 2 under Hong Kong for cost of living. And our building and where I live is on the poor side of town. So I'm on the east side of Vancouver. So houses on the east side only cost $1.1 million. The other side of the city, they're $2.8 million for the same house. So it's a very expensive proposition to live. And had it not been a miracle of God for us to be able to buy, we would still be renting. But rentings are not cheap either. We're rejoicing, my son. Paul rents a house for $2,350 a month. Yeah, it is. And that's it's a steal. We're just so excited. We really believe God led him to that house to be able to rent that. We looked at a lot of dumps for $2,800 a month. So, you know, you think about that. The finances are definitely a hindrance, and it's a challenge. There is also the challenge of influence. And what I mean by this is, who are you? I had a dear man work with us Boyd was with us about 4 or 5 years. He's from the province of Newfoundland, and that's in the other end of the country. And Boyd was my music director and ran some ministries, and I'll never forget the day he came to me just in tears. First of all, I should have known something was up because he asked to take me to lunch. That never happens. It's always the preacher taking other guys to lunch. But Pastor, can I take you to lunch? And he began to weep while we ate, and he said, I need to go home. I need to go back to my province. I need to go back and plant a church. And the Lord's brought him back, and he's in a town of 7,000 people. And he is a true, anyway, I won't get into what a Newfoundlander is. He's a true Newfie through and through. But you know what? The Lord's allowed him to become known in that community. The church, everybody knows where his church building is. He has a sign out front that he puts those little bulletin sayings, and people drive out of the way to go by the church so they can see the sayings. He's a chaplain for the RCMP. I mean, he's got all of these opportunities, and I think what a tremendous blessing that is. But the reality is, in a city, you're going to be hard-pressed. Oh, there'll be the odd person. If you go to the same coffee place every day, they might begin to get to know who you are. But for the most part, most people are not going to know you. Sometimes you feel like your efforts are swallowed up. When we started the church downtown, Urban Community Baptist Church, we put out 100,000 pieces of literature, John and Romans and tracts. And it just feels like it's sucked up. We had the Winter Olympics a few years ago in 2010. We had the Winter Olympics. We passed out 90,000 John and Romans on the streets, and you just said, it's like it's disappeared. And so it's very difficult. There's a challenge of influence. And then there's the challenge of culture. The challenge of culture. And I got a number of points under this as well I'll just share with you. I didn't take the time to put them all on the keynote, but there's the challenge of culture, first of all, I would say, is isolation. City people are not generally open and friendly. You know, they don't, our kids come down here and go to school, and they go out door knocking here in Lancaster, and people actually talk to you, you know? And they're sometimes friendly. Not always, obviously. Brother Parrish thinks that it's a Christian city, but I'm sure Lancaster's got a long ways to go yet. But, you know, it's not, oh, hi, y'all, come on in, have some iced tea, and, you know, sit down and talk. No, they live in a fortress society. We're very fearful. They don't want to talk. They don't want to open their front doors. You know, the doors are chained. You get the buzzer, you know. You know how exciting it is when, you've rung the doorbell and a little speaker box, oh, who is it? You know, you really feel like an idiot. Hi, it's a very difficult thing. They're fearful. We have a thing in Vancouver called home invasions, where if you answer the door, they push in and they take you and they duct tape you or beat you up and rob you while you're sitting there. So a lot of those things. Even as they commute, they avoid eye contact. They live that smartphone existence, and it's difficult to gain access to people's homes. There's also a challenge in the culture of busyness. Because of some of the earlier challenges of city living, I think the cost of living, everyone is extremely busy. City life is often lived, I believe, in a survival mode. I know when I was a young person growing up, and I still think they use those kinds of numbers, they will say, you know, they'll try to help you set a budget. You know, you're planning to get married, and you're supposed to budget 25 to 35% of your monthly budget for housing. They say that's what you should plan on. In Vancouver, it's 80%. 80% of your monthly income goes just to have a place to call home. Stay-at-home moms, pretty much non-existent. You know, I have a few ladies in our church. Probably, I think I added up once, I have three in our entire church that are what we would call stay-at-home moms. And most of them, many of them, are keeping students in their homes and providing for them. Cities are filled with newer immigrants as well, and often they've got to work the low jobs, so they work shifts, so they're working two and three and four jobs, some of them, evenings, weekends, rotating. Honestly, most people in my church, I think, would love to have a 9-to-5 job, but they don't. And then you add that a lot of them are always trying to upgrade their skills, so that means they're also going to school, and they're trying to squeeze all of this in. And so, you know, I don't have people that say, Pastor, I'm going fishing this weekend. I don't have time for that. I don't have anybody who plays golf in our church that I know of. You know, they're all busy doing one thing, working and trying to survive. And it leaves everyone exhausted and drained of energy for much else, including involvement in church things. Sometimes it's all they can do just to make it to service. Which means if we broaden this and understand what it means to pastor and minister in a church, in a church in an urban community, you need to be careful about what you demand of people. And make certain that you take into account what it is that's going on there. There needs to be an honest balance in understanding them. There's also the challenge in the city of multiculturalism. Multiculturalism. Cities are never one culture. Never. And I'm very thankful that from day one, we've always had a multicultural church. And the church that I pastor is probably about 85% Asian. And of various groups. And I love it. It's a great joy to be able to minister to people from all around the world. Brother Zayden, that was just at the session before this, in this room, was a session on pastoring an international church. And he talked, really gave me some ideas. I'm going to see if we can increase the international flavor and get some more people. Gave me some ideas about how we can reach out to other things. But multicultural churches bring great blessings, but they also bring challenges. Because every culture brings with it its views, its ideas, how they want to do things, what's important to them, things that they value. And sometimes they do clash a little bit. And sometimes they do sort of rub on each other. And so it's really important that we understand this and try to adapt to this. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Just to prepare you for that. And then there's the challenge of the non-religious. I would submit that most cities are just frankly non-religious. Even if people were religious, maybe in a small town where they grew up, or if they're, a lot of times I find that people were very active in their churches back somewhere else. They get to the city, they're confronted with, okay, I'm going to have to survive, I'm going to work, I'm going to put all my money and energy into this. That, you know what, God sort of falls off. Faith falls in order of importance. The struggle to survive, really God doesn't have any time in their lives. Plus, a city is a pluralistic society, and many have become skeptic about religion in all of its shapes and forms. There's also the challenge of morality. Most smaller towns and communities are not known for their neighborhoods of open public homosexual activity or annual gay pride parades. They most likely won't have prostitutes standing in front of the church. I have. They most likely won't have drugs being dealt in the... I get mad because they're using the six parking spots I've got, and they're dealing drugs there. We can tell you some very interesting stories. And sadly, just 2 weeks ago, beautiful sunny morning. I'm on my way to church. I got there. I go by the church. The Lord's allowed us to rent some space from a church up the road a little bit for a Christian school. My daughter was with me, and as we went by the church, because it was easier to go up and turn and go down to the other building, there's a woman on our church steps leading up to the door, and she's got all of her paraphernalia, but she's bent over, and my daughter says, "What's she doing?" I said, "Well, she's doing her drugs right there. Broad daylight, just stabbing herself in the leg, trying to get the heroin fix in, trying to make certain she's got her stuff, And so I just went on down, took my daughter back, went back and came back and looked at her. By then she was beginning to clean up a little bit, but there's blood all over the steps of the church. And she said, "You don't have to stand there and stare." I said, "Well, that's the door I need to get into." That's the reality of it. Every possible immoral lifestyle is promoted and flaunted in the city. Can you imagine a transvestite running in drag for city council here in Lancaster? We have it. That's not to say that these things don't exist in other places. They do. It's just that sinful lifestyles are open and public and usually don't even raise an eyebrow. Now, by this time, you're either saying, "I'm glad it's not me," or, "Hey, this sounds exciting. Let's go. The need is great." But I think sometimes the challenges of ministering in the city should confront us. Are we willing to take on the devil, so to speak, in the hard spots of the world? Or are we going to abandon them and leave them to the devil? Well, when Brother Christensen gave me the title for this session, Reaching Urban Community, I didn't really know what to make of it. I thought, well, what does he mean? What does he mean by this? What's the heartbeat of this? What were he and Pastor Chappell thinking about? And, you know, the fact is, reaching people with the gospel is the same everywhere. All right? It all boils down to the basic elements. They need to know who Jesus is. They need to know why they need Jesus. And they need to know that who the Savior is and how he can become their Savior. So the gospel doesn't change from location to location. Indeed, it must not change. But are there differences as to into how we go about reaching people in an urban area as opposed to the little town I talked about, Simcoe, where we used to live? Yes, I believe that it does change. There are some things that you must consider. And it's going to require some thought and prayer as to how we approach our task as servants of God. Now, we spent a bit of time talking about the challenges of urban ministry, and I believe the simplest thought that I could leave with you is to understand your city, understand your challenges, and endeavor to meet those challenges head on. Ask God for direction, for wisdom in making contact with those who need the Lord, and for nurturing God's people that God gives to you in that city environment. You know, living in the city and endeavoring to make a difference for the Lord in an urban place, frankly, I think, requires some Holy Spirit-guided creativity and flexibility. Those challenges, especially that urban culture, might take some of the tried and true methods that we've grown up with and that we've cherished for so many years. And sometimes we find out that they don't really work in that environment. You know, and it's really a struggle to us. And so we must ask the Lord to open our eyes to new possibilities. I wish I could point to one thing and said, this is the key that unlocked the door that helped us to reach thousands for Christ in Vancouver. But I'll tell you what, it's been a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's being willing to try new things. Our early years, we used a gym night. We rented a gym night at a local school and began to reach out, and it became a tremendous outreach ministry for boys and girls, and then the next week we'd do teenagers. And it was really God at work to open that up. Some of those teenagers that came to that gym night and got saved, they're now deacons in our church, and that's the joy of a long-term ministry. Door-to-door work. Boy, I'll tell you, that's really a challenge. We can knock on doors in Vancouver. Now, the gentleman that lives downtown, he has nowhere to knock doors. He can't get anywhere. You can't get in. You can't get in access. It's all high-rise buildings, and so you have absolutely no access to that whatsoever. And so you are left with, he goes out regularly on the streets just trying to pass out tracts in the downtown core. For us, we have found that people, again, as I shared with you, people don't want to answer the doors. People refuse to talk to us. And we've gotten to the place where after I was talking with Brother Mike Kinney today, I said, you know, we get to the place where basically seven out of 10 doors, people refuse the literature. I mean, even if they come to the door and you try to at least, well, would you? No, we don't want it. Take it away. We don't want anything to do with it. So we've gotten to the place where I'd rather just take it, stuff it in their mailbox, which we can do in Canada, which is sort of a nice touch. Take it to the door, put it in the mailbox. At least we got 10 pieces of literature, at least inside the house. And so, we've tried to work on some of those things and making use of what we can do. Brother Kinney said, he said, well, you're doing good. We get about 9 out of 10 that don't want our materials. So every year during our summer, we do an extra special blitz. And this past couple of weeks ago, our local free community paper that's come out began a series of articles on, are you spiritual but not religious? Spiritual but not religious. And they took that acrostic, SBNR. And I really got talking about, thinking about that. And as I read the article, they were saying how many people today, at least in the city, and maybe I'm sure all around, are saying, you know, well, I'm spiritual. I believe maybe in God or a deity, or I think there's something more than just flesh and blood, but, you know, I'm not really religious. And I've really been toying with that. And they covered some great articles. They had articles on Tai Chi, things that people are doing to be spiritual. The one on soul sex was quite an interesting article. I never heard of that one before. And there was a whole weekly article on that. And there was a number of other things going on. And so it's quite interesting. But the more I thought about that, and I thought this paper is going into thousands upon thousands of homes. And so our summer outreach is going to begin with that title, SBNR, Are You Spiritual But Not Religious? And I'm going to tell them that's a great thing. Because God said in John chapter 4, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I've put together something that we're going to go with, and we're hoping that's going to attract some interest and people read it. Now, I have to say this, outreach of that kind has to be backed up with solid web presence and even social media. That's the city at least I live in. It's got to be followed up with that. You've got to have, when my son Paul was with us, he was a great help to us, still is a big help to us and making those kinds of decisions. But you know, what we find is that, you know, on a piece of literature, you can't write a book. You can only put a little bit of information. And so the goal is to get them to a website. And if we get them to the website, we'd go out, we'd pass out. The next day, the hits on our site would go, would skyrocket. People want to check you out. I mean, face it. How many of you go to a restaurant, a new restaurant, without checking up the reviews, right? You read out, you see what the menu is, how much is it going to cost me, you know, what are people saying about it? And the same kind of thing. We have to make all of that available. A couple years ago, the church that was started in North Vancouver, Lionsgate Baptist Church, Pastor Josh Towns, young pastor there, got this great idea. He said, we're going to have a community barbecue. And they had a community barbecue, and it was a resounding success. Did you give them the idea? Oh, of course, he's smirking over there. I gave him that idea. Anyway, Josh was the first one that did it, and we got excited about it, and we thought, you know, this is great. So we've gotten, so we have one day a year in the summertime where we block off the half block of our street. We have to go through all of this permit process, and we get a bouncy castle in, the fire trucks come down and extend their ladders, and we do face painting and balloons, and we invite people to come in and look inside the church. You know, people are curious. They don't know what your church looks like inside. We invite them to come in and look at it, and we go through hot dogs by the bushel load. Now, we try to, please, only two hot dogs. We have little Chinese ladies that go home, change clothes, put on sunglasses, and come back and get two or three more and stuff them in their bags. And, you know, we're saying, she's been in that line three times. You know, so anyway, they free food, you know. We're finding our bus ministry is really, you know what? People are scared to put their kids on a bus. Especially in Asian communities, which our east side is heavily Asian, are not interested in, you're going to take my kids and do what with them? You know? Now, we always, you're welcome to come. I mean, we have all the, you know, all of our bus workers, all of our people have the police checks and everything else. And we, you know, we tell them all of our people are, but you know what? Now, there's some parts of the world where people say, what? You're going to take my kids for 3 hours and not charge me anything? Go for it. All right, kids, what time do you want them ready? But not where I live. Where I live, it's no. I'm not going to be sending my kids. So we still have buses and we still use them. But the reality is, you know, ultimately it comes down to the same thing. If your people are passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll make the biggest difference with the people that they work with, their neighbors and their friends. That's really what it boils down to. Well, lastly, I just close with this. It's obvious that God does not call all people to serve him in the city. A couple of years ago, I had the privilege of speaking at a BIMI field conference. Are you familiar with what a missionary field conference is? They get people together, and so it was a Canadian conference, and they decided to have it in Vancouver. And they actually had it at the hotel where Brother Sean Belliveau was. And I got to meet some really dear people that I had only heard their names. Gentleman, Brother Tom Talley, ministers way up in northern Ontario in a native reserve area, little tiny communities and stuff like that. And them coming to the city and going to the downtown core and being in those high-rise, they were just overwhelmed. They're just going, you know, give me some, you know, trees. And you know, but you know what? I'd probably die in those little communities as well. So I understand that You know, God's calling has to take place in the challenge of the city. But you know, we need some people that will respond to that. We need people that are going to say, you know what, God, you've called me to the city. That's where I need to plug in. I don't need to be looking for an escape. I don't need to be looking for something else. We have been witnesses to such wonders from the Lord. And I think some of the things that God has done for us are just amazing to me. And I think that some of the younger guys in our area, I keep praying that the same God that worked miracles for us will do miracles for them. And that's our prayer for them. But you know, God said to Paul in Corinth, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And this is the same God that we serve today. And I can only bear witness of what I have seen and experienced down through 33 years, that God has always shown himself faithful in meeting every need and providing when we didn't know that there was a possibility or a way at all. And it has allowed us, I believe, to be making a difference in the city of Vancouver. I love the city. All the challenges, you know, I like to go. We have some meetings in our province where guys are up in the interior and they'll have some preacher's fellowship. I love to get out of the city and drive up there and enjoy the country life. But I'll tell you, there's nothing like coming back into the highway, crossing that last bridge and coming in and seeing the vast sea of humanity and realizing that I'm home. This is where God's called me. This is the place that there is a tremendous need. And I don't know where you are. I don't know if you are in the city already, or I don't know whether... I probably didn't offer you a whole lot of solutions, maybe more challenges than you wanted, but let me encourage you that the city is a desperate place, and it's only going to be more people moving. The cities are going to only continue to increase in size, and we believe that it's a great harvest field if we'll just trust God. Father, we love you. Thank you again for this time. Thank you, Lord, for this conference. It's been such a great blessing, and Lord, I pray that you will encourage our hearts wherever you have called us to serve. But Lord, if there's one here today that maybe is pondering urban ministry, realizing that maybe their community right now is bursting at the seams and people are pouring in, that they'll recognize that now's not the time to relocate and move out, but now's the time to adapt and be flexible and to reach those new cultures and confront the new moralities, and because those people are still in need of the Savior. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'll give us the courage and direction. Lord, help us to be found faithful in being and remaining where you call us. And we'll give you the praise now in Jesus' name. Amen.